In the beginning of this week's parsha, we're told about the death of Sarah. And the whole first part deals with the mourning and the eulogy and the burial of Sarah. Afterwards, Avram moves on to the next order of business, and that is finding a wife for his son, for Yitzchak. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's very easy to lose focus. We can think that the objective was simply to find someone for Yitzchak to marry and Yitzchak to grow old with, to have children with. But there's another element over here. Part of what's needed is for this woman to become a replacement for Sarah. When I say this, I'm not saying this in Freudian terms. I'm not saying this in any other way than to understand something which is very simple. From the very beginning, there was an Avraham-Sarah partnership. One of the first things we're told about Avram and Sarah when they leave, we're told, HaNefesh Yishasu B'Charan. When they left Charan, they, the two of them, had an impact on society. There always was a partnership, an Avraham-Sarah partnership. It wasn't Avraham Incorporated, and it wasn't going to be later Avraham and Son. What it was Avraham and Sarah. There was always the two of them. The two of them worked together. In fact, there even becomes a time where they have a disagreement and they turn to their rabbi. Well, they didn't have a rabbi. So Avram turns to God and God says, listen to Sarah. And the rabbis understand from this that Sarah's ability in prophecy was greater even than the ability of Avraham. So what really needs to be done is not just find a wife, a spouse, someone who will love and will be loved by Yitzchak. Rather, we need somebody who can fill those really enormous spiritual shoes, somebody who's going to replace Sarah. Somebody who may even be a superior prophetess, then Yitzchak is going to be a prophet. Now, one of the members of my shul, he enjoys asking me difficult questions. So he said to me this past Shabbat, he goes, maybe the fact that God never speaks to Avram again after the Akedah, after the binding, is because God was mad at him. He didn't want him to do it. So I'm not going to go into the entire discussion. But after the Akedah, God doesn't speak to Yitzchak either. You go looking and try to find when is it that God speaks to Yitzchak. It takes a while. If we go a little bit further, God speaks to Rivka, or communicates with Rivka, and there may be a number of levels to this, before we find the communication with Yitzchak. Not that Yitzchak's not a spiritual person, he is. We find Yitzchak going out to the field, we find him praying, we find him searching for God, but we just don't find God's response. I don't believe that the lack of conversation that God has with Avraham afterwards, or for that matter, the lack of conversation with Yitzchak, is due necessarily to their relative levels or God being upset or so on. Avraham had completed his task. Avram lives a long time after the Akedah. Avram lives all the way to the point that his grandchildren, Yaakov and Esav, are 15 years old. But the point is, and Rabbi Soloveitchik made this point, once Sarah has died, a little bit of Avram has died as well. Avram's not Avram when he doesn't have Sarah. And as soon as Sarah is replaced, which means when Rivka comes to town, when Rivka arrives, now Yitzchak and Rivka are the new patriarchs. Avram stands on the side. Avram without Sarah, something's missing. The leadership required both, the man and the woman, the patriarch and the matriarch. And it's interesting that right away in that first meeting, we see on the one hand the wonderful deeds of Rivka, but we also see on the other hand her understanding that there was divine intervention over here. She sees the hand of God in her life. She sees that God has sent this person. She sees that she is the one who's supposed to be with Yitzchak. There was a test that took place, and she had passed that test, and she understands that. Seeing the hand of God in our lives is not always a simple thing. That's the first thing we see about her. As it were, Ruach HaKodesh is right there during that test. She passed with flying colors, and now she can come. And the words of the rabbis are beautiful. She comes to the tent, the Torah says, to the tent of Sarah. But it says, this tent, Sarah used to light the Shabbat candles. On Friday night, it would last an entire week. But it stopped when she died. When Rivka came, it continued. It said there was a miracle within her making of the bread, and that stopped when Sarah died. When Rivka came, it started again. It said that there was a cloud which hovered on top of the tent, but when Sarah died, it stopped. But when Rivka came, it started again. Which means the arrival of Rivka is actually the point of succession which we should have been paying attention to. It wasn't simply that Yitzhak will now take the place of Avraham. It's that Rivka now needs to take the place of Sarah. With the arrival of Rivka, the story can continue on. Rivka and Yitzhak now will take the place of Sarah and Avraham, and we can now move further. When they suffer through years of childless, they both pray. But when she has a pregnancy which is complicated, it's Rivka who turns to God, and God speaks to her. There we find God speaking to Rivka before God ever spoke to Yitzchak. So what we have over here is a story of succession. We have a story of a new patriarch and matriarch. And what we may have missed along the way was without Sarah, Avraham is not really quite Avraham.